I don't have a lot of power in my voice today, so if you're camping in the back. Who remembers what chapter we're in?
Four. Four.
This section, in my mind.
Yes, not always understood.
Not as understood.
We were discussing, Krishna was saying that to understand what action and inaction are is difficult work. Action, inaction, and forbidden action. Sanskrit words. Karma. Karma. And he's given a paradoxical statement that the self-realized person sees action in inaction and inaction in action, which we all clearly understand, don't we? Someone want to, well, say how that's so? Yes? Show it, please.
That one is, there's inaction and action, or action and inaction, when one may be progressing in spiritual life, but externally not appearing to be doing very much. Mm. He's not like jumping up and down, he may be sitting down 10 minutes round, but making great progress in his spiritual life.
Yeah. And the person who seems to be accomplishing a lot?
He's the opposite. He may be so active that he's not going anywhere spiritually.
He's going nowhere. Or on the other side, a person may be engaged in all sorts of activities, but not be engaged in fruitive action. That's the other way. And a person may be not doing anything, or may not be doing anything except sitting there accumulating karma because he's not in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Yes?
So how is it like when we are performing devotional service, like now in conditional state, so that we have some, it's not pure devotional service, do we get some reaction for this?
No.
Even if it's like half devotional service?
The devotional service, to the extent that you're acting for your own sense gratification, you have to accept the responsibility. But to the extent that you're working for Krishna's service, there's no reaction. But not that like you come to the temple, you perform an arti or something, and then the rest of the day you go out and do things for sense gratification, but you've kind of got an invisible protective shield around yourself because you did some devotional service. It doesn't work that way. But if we engage our full energy for Krishna's service, then there's no reaction to that. Even if you may not be 100% pure in heart, but you're carrying out the instructions of Krishna and the spiritual master, they bear the responsibility for the activity. Okay? So we're just about at text 20, are we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Chaktva karma pala sangam nitya tripto nirashrayaha karmanyabhi pravrittopi naivam kinchit kuroti saha. This we'll find in several places in Bhagavad Gita. Yukta karma pala chaktva. The Krishna conscious person is working, but he's not attached to the fruit of the work. He's satisfied in Krishna consciousness, and he doesn't take shelter in the material energy. Therefore, karmanyabhi prabhrittopi, although he's engaged in all sorts of karma, all sorts of work, naiva kinchit kuroti sah. Actually, he's not doing anything. He's not doing anything material, even though he's busy. And I gave the example the other day. The Prabhupada said they see that we're busy at the printing press. They see that we're busy at the paper market. It seems like we're engaged in all sorts of material activities. But this is all transcendental service. Any questions about that? Pretty clear, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're moving ahead. Nirashir yata chittatma chatva sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvan napnoti kildisham. Nirashi, he's not hoping for some good result. Yata chittatma, his mind and intelligence are controlled. Chakva, chakta sarva parigraha. All sense that this is mine, he's given up. Shariram kevalam karma. He's just working for the sake of the body. In other words, to keep body and soul together. Where's that? What is that in Srimad Bhagavatam? Kamasyanendriya pritir, labhujiveta yavata. Labhujiveta yavata. Just to keep life going. So shariram kevalam, karma. Activity just meant to keep body and soul together. Kurvan napnoti kildisham. Even though he's active, for him there's no sinful reactions. Kildisham means sin. Okay. So again, Krishna's making this point. Because what was Arjuna's argument? Papam eva shreyed asman. Sin will overtake us. Or
killing.
Krishna says, no, when you're acting in this consciousness, not with any material motive in mind, but just as a matter of duty, there are no sins. Yadrich cha labha santushto dvandva tito vimatsaraha samasiddhava siddho cha kritvapi nani bhajyate. In different ways, Krishna is describing how to work without being entangled. Lots of times we get this question. How can one work in Krishna consciousness? What if you're out in the world? How can you be Krishna conscious? Do you hear that question ever? Especially from the householders? You know, how can we work and not be entangled in, you know? So here in this section, Krishna's answering different ways. Yadrich cha labha. Yadrich cha means automatically, of its own accord. Labha, that which is obtained of its own accord. A person who's satisfied, santushta, with that. And dvandva tito, he's beyond dualities. And vimatsaraha, he's not envious. Sama siddho siddhau cha, he's equal in success and failure. Kritva api, even though he's acting, na nibhajyate, he's never entangled. Even, he's just whatever comes, he knows it's up to Krishna. Clear? Not difficult.
So why is he not entangled?
Huh? Because he's not working to get anything in this material world. He's acting just as a matter of duty. Ultimately, he's acting for the service of Krishna. Clear? Okay. Gata sangasya muktasya jnana avastita chetasaha yagyaya charita karma samagram pravaliyate. Now this section that we're beginning is important. They're all important, but watch closely. He is unattached to the modes of material nature. Jnana avastita, he's situated in transcendental knowledge. Jnana avastita chetasaha. And yagyaya acharita karma, he's working for the sake of sacrifice or working for the sake of the Lord. That's not translated in the translation, but notice it. Yajnaya acharita karma. He's working for the sake of Krishna. Samagram pravaliyate. His work merges into transcendence. And we'll find that explained in the next verse. You're looking like, how is that? How does his work merge into transcendence? Just watch, you're sitting there watching while it merges into, wow, there went my work. It just merged into transcendence. How does that happen? That's explained in the next verse. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmana hutam brahmaiva tena gantavya brahmakarma samadhina. What does brahma mean? Spiritual nature. Or brahma ultimately means Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said that wherever you see this word brahma, take it to mean Krishna. Because brahma means brihat, the greatest. Spirit, spiritual nature is great. But finally, the greatest is Krishna. Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. Brahma is everything. What is that Brahma? Krishna. So, Brahmarpanam. When there's sacrifice performed, then the arpana, that which you offer, and havi means ghee or butter that's offered in the sacrifice, and Agni, the fire, and Brahmana, the spirit soul who's doing the offering, and Hutam, that which is offered, they're all spirit. When you do a sacrifice, everything is spirit. The fire is spirit, the ghee is spirit, the person doing the offering is spirit. In the yajna, everything's being offered to Krishna, so everything's merging in Krishna. Everything's being connected to Krishna. When there's an initiation yajna, the person is unconnected. Now he's offering himself to Krishna and the spiritual master. We put the banana in the fire offering. That, my dear Krishna, I offer actually my whole life to you. So the fire represents Krishna, but the ghee is also Krishna, the offering is also Krishna, I'm also Krishna. Means not that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I also am part and parcel of Krishna. Everything's part and parcel of Krishna, only it's been disconnected. The microphone has been disconnected from Krishna, the ghee has been disconnected by some guys who want to eat ghee and enjoy. I've disconnected my life from Krishna. So it's all become material by being disconnected. And when you offer it back to Krishna, it becomes spiritual again by being reconnected. Prabhupada's example that the electric wire, when it's attached to the electrical source, it again becomes electrified. Or the spark again in the fire resumes its fiery nature. Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. Everything's Brahma, everything's spirit. But being disconnected, it's lost its spiritual quality. So we say this is all material, you know, material, these after material things. What are those things? Money, women, good food, big houses. He's a materialist. He's after all these material things. But those same things, when offered to Krishna, become spiritual. You offer your money to Krishna, it becomes spiritual. You offer the girl to come to Krishna, she becomes spiritual. You offer the house to Krishna, the house becomes a temple. You offer everything to Krishna, it all becomes, again, spiritual. Just like some temple, it's spiritual. You know, you rent some building, and you hold kirtan, and it becomes a spiritual place. And next door, it's just a material place, it's a house. Because there, the proprietor is the center, and in the temple, Krishna is the center. Hare Krishna, men. Developing our transcendental love.
Yeah. Next lunch, become a monk.
So, So everything is spiritual because everything is nothing but Krishna's energy, and Krishna's energy ultimately is spiritual. Even the material energy is ultimately spiritual because it's Krishna's energy. Just like the cloud, it's ultimately just a transformation of the sunshine. Because the sun dries up the water from the ocean and turns it into clouds. So everything is Krishna. Prabhupada said, let's find this. Everything that exists is situated in the Brahma Jyoti, but when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, maya, or sense gratification, it's called material. Material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all together Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by maya is called matter. Matter dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. So it's clear what's going on here? When we offer everything to Krishna, everything involved regains its spiritual quality. You go out and chant in the street, then you become spiritualized, the people who hear become spiritually awakened, the street becomes spiritualized. And the whole scene becomes a spiritual scene because now you've reconnected it with Krishna. Clear?
What does it mean that it regains its spiritual quality? What is the quality about?
Spiritual quality means now it's connected to Krishna. Actually, everything is spiritual, only it's covered. It's somehow been, or appears to be, separated from Krishna. You connect it to Krishna, again it becomes spiritual.
Yeah, but when I offer the food, it still gets rotten after some days.
But it has spiritual quality. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was taking that rotten rice from the Jagannath temple and accepting it as Krishna prasada.
But the quality is not Satchit and Ananda.
Everything is ultimately eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. But it's been disconnected. So the material energy, it's not that if I use these glasses for the service of Krishna, they'll last forever. But as long as they're existing, they're connected with devotional service, they're connected with Krishna. So now these same glasses that somebody might wear to look cool and attract girls are being used so that you can see, you know, something for serving Krishna. So that they now have spiritual value. Your Sankirtan van has spiritual value. You know, somebody might use the same van to go off for a beach party. And you use it to go off for a Sankirtan party. So it had a material quality, but now it has a spiritual quality. Doesn't mean that the van, you know, you could bang a tank into it and it would, you know, it would survive. But it means that it's being dovetailed or connected to Krishna, reconnected to Krishna. In that sense, it's being spiritualized.
So there will be no reaction.
No, you're driving to the beach for sense gratification. There's all sorts of material reactions there. You're driving to Sankirtan spot for distributing books. There's no, rather you're being purified from previous material reactions. Yes?
So, for example, the glasses, they will be part of the external energy of the Lord.
Yeah, they still belong to the external energy. But consider that these distinctions, in one sense, are dualities that have no ultimate value. We say material energy. Material energy means separated energy. But on the highest platform of realization, a devotee sees Krishna everywhere, and therefore Krishna's spiritual energy. If Krishna's spiritual, so his energy is finally spiritual. Even like we see Maya. Maya is causing suffering. I'm suffering because of the material energy. From another point of view, actually it's Krishna who is purifying my heart through his material energy, which is acting spiritually. You know, by beating me over the head, actually it's, or like say the government, the police force seem to be, you know, acting in such a way as to give me a hard time. From the government's point of view, the police force is doing admirable service. So, from Krishna's point of view, all the energies are spiritual. All the energies are spiritual. It means they're his energy. It's Krishna's energy, therefore it's spiritual. Krishna's energy is eternal. Not that these glasses will always, you know, the plastic will live forever. But they consist of Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is eternal. It changes form. In the spiritual world, there's no change. Everything's permanent. Here, everything changes. But even these changing things engaged in Krishna's service have spiritual value. Doesn't mean they won't change. Just like my body. Not that it won't change. If I'm engaged in Krishna's service, my body will never change. That's not going to work. But the body has spiritual value when engaged in Krishna's service. Jnana saktasya vishayan yatarho upiyanjita nirbandha Krishna sambandha Yukta Bhairava. This is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, to see everything as spiritual. Just it's acting in a different way. It doesn't mean that we're fools, that we embrace the tiger, oh, Krishna's spiritual energy. But actually we see that the tiger is spirit soul, that's Krishna's spiritual energy. The body of the tiger is also Krishna's energy. Maybe it's called material energy. But actually it's Krishna's energy, because Krishna is spiritual, the energy is also spiritual. Not spiritual in the sense of being fully conscious like the soul, but belonging to Krishna. My bodies reject. Jagan mitya, the world is false. He said, no, the world is not false, but it's temporary. But it's Krishna's energy, therefore it has real value. Prabhupada's example, you take a dollar bill and you claim it's mine, then you're a thief. And if you leave it, you're a fool. But if you give it back to the owner, then that's proper use. So the dollar bill, we don't take it, now this is mine. And we also don't leave it, oh, this is false. It's an illusion. No, it's Krishna's energy. This dollar should be put in the pranami box and used for Krishna's service. Then it regaining its spiritual place, spiritual value.
There's the analogy of the sun god and the, for the sun god and the people living on the sun, there's no question of sunlight and shadow, there's only sunlight.
Mm.
But those who are removed from the sun, they see sunlight and shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, for the sun god, everything he sees sun, everything is sunny. From Krishna's point of view, everything is spiritual. Although he says this is spiritual, this is material, but those are two divisions of spiritual. When this Krishna's spiritual act energy acts to imprison us, it's called material energy. When it acts to liberate us, it's called spiritual energy. The same MP3 player can act to entangle you or liberate you, depending on, you know, which track you're playing. Or Prabhupada's another Prabhupada example, electrical energy is actually one. But you can use it to heat, you can use it to cool. But from the point of view of the electrician, it's all one energy. So Krishna can use his energy to exchange loving dealings, or he can use his energy to throw you in jail. But it's, for Krishna's point of view, it's all the same. The government, it has one big pile of money. It can use it to build a college, or you use it to build a penitentiary. From the government point of view, they're both good purposes. But from the prisoner's point of view, although sometimes the college student feels like he's in prison too, that's a different thing. But from the government's point of view, it's all necessary. All state functions. Any other questions here? Yes? Spiritual and conscious? Yeah, we got into this in the Bhagavatam class the other morning, I think, those who were there. It doesn't mean when we say now these glasses, because they're offered to Krishna, they have spiritual value. Doesn't mean that now that they're like spirit souls jumping up and down in every square millimeter chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Doesn't mean that somehow there's a spirit soul has entered into these glasses and they've become, you know, if you could see, you'd see they're glowing with consciousness. Not that. Not that it, because my body is engaged in Krishna's service, now somehow the skin has become conscious. You know, the liver has become a living entity. No.
Oh, yeah.
There's still a spirit soul covered by a material body, but the material body has also been engaged now for a spiritual purpose. So even the material body has spiritual value. We engage all our brahmacharis to go out. They're a spiritual force. Their bodies, you know, are all being engaged in Krishna's service. So is that material? No, that's spiritual. So the material energy is being transformed into the spiritual energy. Or the spiritual energy is being transformed into the material energy. Krishna's energy is all spiritual, but some portion of it is being transformed into matter. Or the matter is being transformed back into spirit. It can go either way. You take the same temple and you sell it, some person, you know, or lose it in some legal case or something, and they start using it as a brewery or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now the spiritual energy has been transformed back into the material energy. But it doesn't mean that, you know, the temple, the bricks, somehow when it was a temple, the bricks all became conscious. Except from point of view of the Paramhansa. From the point of view of Paramhansa, all bets are off. You know, it's a whole different story. He sees Krishna everywhere. He sees Krishna everywhere. How he sees Krishna everywhere? You become a Paramhansa and you'll know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Like a detail, says that temple is an expansion of Balaram.
Yeah, right.
All the paraphernalia, which is in
the
temple.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you'll see it, but the more you become Krishna conscious, the more you'll see Krishna everywhere. And Prabhupada gives the example that the mother sees the shoes of the child. She doesn't exactly see the shoes, she sees the child. She sees the shoes and begins crying. Why are you crying over a pair of shoes? No, these are my child's shoes. So she sees the child by seeing the shoes. So in the same way, by seeing anything in this material world, the Krishna conscious person sees Krishna. What is that? Stavra jangama deki na deki tarmurti. What is that?
Sarvatra
something. Ishtadevasputi. So that comes in the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That the Krishna conscious person, wherever he seeks, whatever he sees, he doesn't exactly see that. He sees Krishna. That, you have to become Krishna conscious, you'll also see. But we start to see that. We see something, we say, oh, this is Krishna's this is Krishna's that. We're in the training, probationary stage, but we're also starting to see that, no, this is Krishna's. This is Krishna's. where we see, oh, Krishna has given me his prasada. Ordinary person sees, it's just a bunch of flowers. What's the big deal over a bunch of flowers? But the devotees see, no, that's Krishna's garland. Similarly, Krishna's money, Krishna's property, Krishna's everything. He sees everything, handles everything very carefully. This is Krishna's. Those who had association with Prabhupada, they saw it. He handled everything, you know, in such a way. You could see he's always handling it as Krishna's property. Yes?
This first verse, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra.
Mm.
So, Kurukshetra was so much purified by Dharma there that the whole land was like spiritual, the environment was spiritual. Going back to your question, if there is a how, if there is a temple and we sell it to a pub or somewhere, then doesn't that place have the spiritual energy, like if a pub owner goes to buy that land or something?
It does that. He gets like inspired by devotional service. All the customers start chanting Hare Krishna. No. Now everything is Krishna's. Everything has the Krishna connection. But when the more we sever it from the connect from that connection, the more we look away from Krishna, Bahirmukti, the more we lose the benefit. Otherwise, if someone goes to the pub and remembers, wasn't there a Hare Krishna temple here? Hey, he became purified even by going to the pub.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's a Krishna connection. As soon as you remember the Krishna connection, you become purified. As soon as you forget the Krishna connection, you become contaminated. So sacrifice is the act of reviving the Krishna connection. Sankirtan Yajna. We're reviving the Krishna connection by offering this transcendental sound to Krishna. What are we offering? It's Krishna's holy name. Where is it coming from? Our material vocal cords. And now the vocal cords are becoming spiritualized. The body of the person who's chanting and dancing is becoming spiritualized. His consciousness is becoming spiritualized. Everything spiritualized. Why? Yajna. As soon as there's yajna, everything becomes spiritual.
Like for example, when we offer prasadam and give it to some person, but he don't think about Krishna, he just eat prasadam for sense enjoyment, but it's still spiritual.
Yeah, at least because you're thinking of Krishna, he is becoming spiritualized. Krishna extends himself in different ways. Sometimes even you don't realize Krishna's presence, but somehow Krishna is extending special mercy. That's called prasadam, mercy. You didn't remember Krishna, but somebody thought, let's give this person some mercy. So it acted. The consciousness was more from your side than his side, but it acted. If he reciprocates. Even if he doesn't reciprocate, something will be there. But when he reciprocates, then it's really manifest. Something else? Okay. Yes?
The absolute truth covered by Maya is called matter. The absolute truth
is never covered by matter. But your vision is covered by matter. Just like we say the sun covered by the clouds is darkness. Sun is not in darkness, but our vision is covered. When we say the absolute truth covered, it doesn't mean the absolute truth is covered, it means we're covered.
But we're also part of the absolute truth.
Huh?
We're also part of the
absolute. We're also the part of the absolute truth. But we're covered by Krishna's arrangement, that this person wanted to, actually the Maya that's covering you is also the absolute truth. It's because it's the energy of the absolute truth. The energy and the energetic are one. So you're the absolute truth being covered by the absolute truth. Why are you being covered by the absolute truth rather than being uncovered? Because you're looking away from Krishna. Because you're the absolute truth which is tiny. You're only a partial manifestation of the absolute truth. You're only 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. And Krishna is unlimitedly big. So Krishna is absolute, we're also absolute. Krishna is Brahman, I'm also Brahman. But Krishna is great and I'm small. Therefore the small has been covered, because he's looking away from Krishna, by one of the big energies of the absolute truth, Mamamaya Dhrateya. And you surrender to the absolute truth directly, Maya Metam Tananti. Clear? Shall we move on? Okay. Time for a break. Crying out loud. Okay, should we give him a break? Or keep going?
Keep going.
Okay. Find our spot here. Dayavam eva apare yagyam yogina paryupasate brahmagna vapare yagyam yagyena eva upajuvati. Now we're going to come to a big list of yagyas. In this section, Krishna is going to be explaining all kinds of yagyas. He's explained just in the previous verse the importance of offering everything in yagya. We've heard about yagya several times, yagyaya charita karma in 23, how the work merges into transcendence because it's performed for the sake of yagya. Yagyad karmanon yatra. We've heard about the importance of yagya. Now, all right, they say, well, now, well, how do I do this yagya? We hear about yagya. What is this yagya?
Yagya is giving everything.
It's a rhetorical question. What is yagya? You're going to find out in the next verses. Yes, it's offering everything. But how do we offer? That's going to be explained. Devam, daivam eva apare yagyam. Yogina paryupasate. Brahmagna vapare yagyam yageno ivopajuvati. Some yogis worship the demigods. Some yogis offer sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, considering it to be a representation of the absolute truth. Different kinds of yagya. Factually, sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord. All the different sacrifices are going to be described here. The impersonalists are the ones, they're doing fire sacrifices, they're offering themselves in the fire of the Absolute Truth, they're praying to the Lord, may I merge my identity into your identity, and you know, so on. Now I'm a drop, make me the ocean. So they want to merge. The fire, for the impersonalist, the fire altar of sacrifice is the Supreme Brahman, and the offering is the self being consumed by the fire of Brahman. Okay, so I'm a tiny portion of the Absolute. Let me enter the Supreme Absolute and become one. Let me merge into that. That's the impersonalist idea. So they're doing that. And then others are worshipping the demigods. That's their idea of yagya. They're sacrificing their time and money and energy to worship the Absolute in the form of the demigods. They conceive of the Absolute Truth as being, you know, what is the Absolute Truth? Shiva is the Absolute Truth. Durga is the Absolute Truth. Indra is the Absolute Truth. All together, they're all the Absolute Truth. Whichever one you choose. Huh? So they're worshipping the demigods with the idea that they're worshipping the Supreme. Bhav Ishra, Bahu Ishra Vadi, believers in many gods, Bahu Ishra, many gods. Okay? And of course they're interested in material benefits, so they're worshipping that way. Shrotradin Indriyanyanye Samyamagnishu Juvati Shabdadin Vishyan Anya Indriyagnishu Juvati. Now, some are sacrificing the hearing process and the senses in the fire of samyama. Samyama means mental control. This is a kind of, these are different fires. The fire of mental control. We saw the fire of sacrifice. Now there's others, shabdadin vishyananya, indriagnishu juvati. They're offering the senses into the fire, sorry, the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So here, Prabhupada explains, the first group are the brahmacharis who are offering the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And the second group are the householders who are using their senses. When they offer the sense objects to the sense to the senses in sacrifice, they're also engaged in sacrifice. They're also engaged. Sex is also performed as a sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. Otherwise, it's simply sense gratification. But when the regulated householders engage in sex life to have a child for the satisfaction of the Lord, that's also sacrifice. So the objects of the senses are offered to the fire of the senses in sacrifice. Yes. But senses in the fire of sense, yes. Mental control. He can use his senses this way, that way, or the other way, but instead he's offering them to. His sacrifice is, no, I'm not going to do this. Control. In other words, one fire is the fire of the senses, of the senses. The sense objects, oh objects of the senses, I offer you to the senses for the service of the Lord. Then that's the grahasthas. And the brahmacharis, I have my senses, but rather than use them for sense gratification, even regulated sense gratification, I'm going to offer those senses to control. Just like brahmacharya, what does it mean? It means sacrificing. What are you sacrificing? Sex. You know, what's the big sacrifice in brahmacharya life? Control. You know, it's not your apartment. It's sex life. So he's, rather than saying, all right, let me have sex, let me not have sex. Let me control my mind and senses. Why? As a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. And the grahastha is saying, let me use my senses, but not unrestrictedly. I was using my senses unrestrictedly as a karmi. Now let me either control my senses fully, give up sex life, or offer sex life only for the service of the Lord. What was the old translation?
What's the old translation?
Old. Not you have Bible. It.
Yeah.
Of 26? The last sentence? Or the last clause? The others, what do they do? No. Translation. They sacrifice their senses in the fire of sacrifice.
In the fire of sacrifice.
That's difficult to understand.
Not right. They sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Because now you can understand what it means, right? Some, the brahmacharis are doing one thing, the householders are doing another thing. But it's both for yajna. You might get a little bit confused. Yeah. That's why we recommend the new version, because it's closer to the actual intentions of Srila Prabhupada, and therefore it's easier to understand. It's consistent with what Prabhupada said. The householders who have license for sense gratification perform such acts with great restraint. That's sacrifice. Okay, so that these are two kinds of sacrifice. Not that the brahmacharis are engaged in sacrifice. Householders aren't sacrificing. They're also sacrificing. First of all, they're sacrificing their tendency to just go willy-nilly, which we all have. But they're also engaging in a sacrifice by using their senses in a regulated way for Krishna. Clear? Yes.
What kind of sacrifices? Ashwamedha yajna?
That's a whole different thing. That's a big, let's stick to what's going on here. Bring up, we'll talk about the Ashwamedha yajna later. Okay, is it clear? Because we hear that this was a part that needs some clarifying, so let's work on it. Yes?
The sacrifice object of the senses in the five senses, it sounds like karma yoga.
Like. Yeah, it is karma yoga. It's activity. You could say it's you know, material activity, but that material activity is now being performed for sacrifice. What happens when you engage, when you devote material activity directed towards sacrifice? Become spiritualized. From Arpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagno. So they're sacrificing when they're regulated householders, they're sacrificing. Let us engage in the service of Krishna by having a child for Krishna. That's also sacrifice. And therefore, there's this. It's just as you know, you build a sacrificial altar and you chant mantras and you pour ghee and you do all of those things. So in the sex life of the householders, there's chanting of mantras. There's getting the blessings of the spiritual master. There's purification of consciousness for engaging in the service of Krishna. So it's also a kind of sacrifice. Clear? The whole life is connected with sacrifice. We'll read later that without sacrifice there's no happiness in this world or the next. But everything should be done. Yagyartat karmanon yakta loko yambhati. If you don't do it as a sacrifice, then you get entangled. And if you do it for sacrifice, then you become purified. So even the sex life can be offered in sacrifice to Krishna. Regulated sex life. Text is clear? Okay, next one. Sarvan Indriya Karmani, Prana Karmani Chapare. Atma Samyamas Yogagno, Juvati Ganadipite. Now we come to the yoga system. The Ashtanga yogis. Sarvan Indriya Karmani, the activities of all the senses. Prana Karmani, the activities of the life air. Apare, others. These are, some people do this, some people do this, other people do this. So others, apare, they're offering the activities of all the senses, the activity of the life air, into Atma Samyama, Agno, into the fire of Atma Samyama, mental control, Gyanadipite, with the light of knowledge, or perhaps because of the urge for self-realization. So this is another yajna. The yogis, the people who, what are they doing? They're offering the outcoming breath into the incoming into the outgoing. That will be explained later in the sixth chapter. You know, this is the thing. You offer the outgoing breath into the incoming to the outgoing. Finally, you reach equilibrium, no breathing. So this is another kind of sacrifice. The yoga system. See, the yogis who are following the Ashtanga yoga system, they're also performing sacrifice. And here the offering is the activities of the senses, which they're controlling, the activities of the life air, which they're bringing up through the different chakras. This is their sacrifice. Clear? Come on, is it clear or not? Yes. How does it work, offering the outgoing into the incoming? This is the kind of thing that you go to the guru to learn. It's a mechanical thing. It's a mechanical thing. This yoga system is mechanical. There's some technique. You discipline, that's called pranayama, disciplining the breathing in such a way. Basically, you know, we breathe and the outgoing breath goes out, the incoming breath goes in. They somehow or other, you know, reverse the process and put the whole thing into equilibrium. I don't know how to do it. I never learned that. But that's what you learn in yoga school. Not how to lose weight, but how to discipline your respiration to the point where you can stop it. You know, how are the yogis meditating underwater for 10,000 years? That's what they're doing. Okay. Read the next verse. Yeah. Watch carefully, those who have your books. 28? Yeah.
There are others who, enlightened by sacrificing their material possessions, severe austerity, take strict vows and practice yoga of a bold discipline and spend the day with the advancement of their knowledge.
This verse really contributes to being totally confused. Wow. You know, here they're all merged. The same person is doing all these different things. But from Prabhupada's original and from the Sanskrit, it's clear that some are doing one thing, some are doing another thing, some are doing another thing. Dravya yagyas tapo yagya. Yoga yagyas tatapre. These are all different people. Swadhyaya jnana yagyas cha. Yataya sangshita vrtaha. So, sangshita vrta. These are all these people. They're all taking strict vows. Yatiya, they're all enlightened. And what are they doing? Some are doing dravya yajna. What's dravya? Dravya means stuff. Right? Dravya means stuff. You know, your material stuff.
Oh.
Dravya. Right? That's what dravya means.
So you're utilizing
your stuff. Whatever stuff you have, using it for Krishna. Dravya means, what does Prabhupada say, possessions. Sacrificing one's possession means giving your stuff to Krishna. Dravya yajna, that's called dravya yajna. Tapa yajna, to perform tapasya for Krishna. And yoga yajna. What's yoga yajna? We just read about it.
Patanjali.
Huh? Patanjali system, you know, all that stuff that you learned up in the Himalayas. Yoga yajna. And svadhyay. What's svadhyay?
Learning.
Yeah, studying the Vedas. Svadhyaya jnana yajna. Developing knowledge by studying the Vedas. That's also a sacrifice. Even, you know, the school, kids go to school, that's a kind of sacrifice. Unfortunately, they're sacrificing for the sake of material advancement. But if they were going to Gurukul and learning the Vedas, that's svadhyaya jnana yajna. So these are all different kinds of yajna. That's the whole theme here. there's this yajna, there's that yajna, there's another kind of yajna. There are all these different kinds of yajnas by which one can become advanced in transcendental knowledge. And this is all explained in Prabhupada's purport. Offering charity, opening hospitals, old age homes and stuff, that's dravya yajna. I'll give my stuff, I'll sacrifice my stuff for the benefit of others. There's some sacrifices there. Then tapasya, observing chaturmasya, doing certain different kinds of austerity, that's tapa yajna. Then yoga yajna, Patanjali yoga, and then studying the Vedas, that's svadhyaya yajna. All these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifice and seeking a higher status of life. Yes?
So isn't dravya yajna also if you use things in Krishna service?
Yeah, ultimately, yoga yajna is what?
Connecting
with Krishna. Tapa yajna is what? To observe austerities for Krishna.
So if you go on a book distribution and you work hard for Krishna,
then you're doing all of the, you know, what is that? And the Vedeshu, Yagyeshu, Tapashu, Chaiva, Daneshu, Yatpunya, you're doing all the yajnas. By, you know, you don't have to separately do Tapa Yajna and Yoga Yajna and Jnana Yajna. Maybe I'm missing this yajna. That. You do Sankirtan Yajna. You did everything. You offer to Krishna. You've performed every yajna there is. Therefore it's said, what is that? Aho bhatta sapacho to guriyan yaj divagre vartate namatu. Ah, what is that? Tapas tapus? Someone know? Prasyagya. Ah, thank you. Ah, the person who's chanting your holy name is so glorious. He's already done all the yajnas, he's already bathed in all the rivers, he's done every tapasya there is. Why? Because he's chanting your holy name. Everything's included.
We've already done everything.
He's done everything.
So we all are in the same category.
Huh?
Because we all are chanting holy name. It means that.
Yeah, it means you must have done. Now, someone's more advanced in chanting, someone's a beginner in chanting, but anyone who's chanting the holy name, oh, he's not an ordinary person. He must have done so much.
In previous life,
or somehow or other, just like if you're in the graduate program, it's understood you already went to kindergarten and high school and, you know, everything. And even if you skipped some of it, you did it. You know, as far as anyone's concerned, you went to high school. Even if you didn't go to high school, if you're in the graduate school, you got your high school diploma already. It's not even considered. Yes?
I have a question about one sentence in the prayer.
Yes?
The second last sentence. Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by any one of the above mentioned types of sacrifice, but can be attained only by the mercy of the Lord and his bona fide devotees. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is transcendental.
Yeah.
But isn't it also that this kind of sacrifice is supposed to bring us to Krishna consciousness? Or it's like
without the touch of a pure devotee, nothing will bring you to Krishna consciousness. You can do tapasya all day long for 1,000 years. You can give your possessions 10,000 times over. You can do yoga till you're blue in the face. You can do everything. Without the touch of devotional service, you can't get devotional service.
So it's recommended in the Vedas only to bring a person in contact with a devotee?
It's for purification. By purification, we hope that he'll come to go further. He'll search out. Now this is not enough. This is not enough. Still there's something more. Then he may come in touch with the pure devotee. Bhagimanji, but he's very fortunate. Okay? So we're looking at these as being subordinate kinds of sacrifice to offer dravya, to offer your stuff, to do yoga. And then from that point of view, no, Krishna consciousness is better than all of these things. Or from another angle of vision, Krishna consciousness is the real form of all of these things. You give your stuff, but you don't give it to the poor, you give it to the temple. You do tapasya, but it's not, you know, standing there in the rain and the sun and all of that. It's going out on book distribution and so on. So this is now clear. Pranapanagati rudva pranayama parayana apare niyata ahara pranan praneshu juvati. This is just a further description of the yoga, pranayam, controlling the, you know, all that stuff that you learn in the Himalayas. That's further described in this verse. This one's pretty straightforward, just that the technical part is, may take a little while to master, but the idea is clear. Loud. If there's some connection with Krishna, then you're making progress. But really, to get to the to devotional service, we need the touch of a devotee. What is Vaishnava? Vaishnava. Paichekeva nistara. What do you think?
Thariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichekeva.
Means?
Means. Who has ever gotten deliverance without serving
a pure devotee? Who's ever gotten out of Maya without serving a pure devotee?
Maharaj, if you're like doing austerities in relation to Krishna or giving money in relation to Krishna, then you must have already come in contact with the
Yeah, how are you giving money to Krishna unless you've somehow or other come in touch with the devotees, devotional service? Someone comes in touch with the Hare Krishna movement, then he starts to think, right, you know, let me do something. Then, all right, now he did something. He bought a book, or he smiled at a devotee, or he did something. So it's little touch. Now he's got some capital. So now that capital can increase. Finally, he meets a pure devotee, inquires from a pure devotee, does some service for a pure devotee, surrenders to a pure devotee, gets instructions from a pure devotee.
When he gets the capital, is it the same time? Does it mean that the capital will increase in future, or when he gets one?
Yeah, it will.
Is automatically Krishna will bring...
He's got something, yes. That's described in the sixth chapter, that someone who's done a little devotional service automatically becomes attracted in the next life, even if he doesn't continue. In the next life, he'll think, you know, I don't know, just working a job 7 days a week, doesn't, you know, and having this a wife and a batch of little brats, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. Somehow, because he did some devotional service, he becomes automatically interested. And of course, the more he did, the stronger that force is. Otherwise, he did a little something, and then when he sees a Sankirtan party and something, he says, man, let me give those guys a donation. Maybe that's all he does. He says, let me give you this guy. And then he continues this myth. But now he just increased his capital.
Next time,
you know, what are those books anyway? Next time, you guys got a temple around here or something?
Mm-hmm. Sunday feast.
Yeah, you know, he's increasing his capital.
To come in contact with Varnashram, does one have to have a blessing of the true devotee?
To come in touch with Varnashram, does one have to have the blessing of a pure devotee? No. Varnashram is, there's lots of people who are, Varnashram is material. Varnashram is simply the social system. It creates a favorable environment. It's the alternative or it's the proper form of social organization as compared to, you know, willy-nilly anything goes, modern democratic, disorganized anarchy. Even though the aim is to satisfy Vishnu. Yeah, depends. Now if he comes to Varnashram and he gradually thinks that, well, now I'm a Kshatriya, I'm supposed to be doing my service for the service of for the sake of the Lord, now there must be some touch of devotional service there. That's the idea, actually. Therefore, it's called Daivi Varnashram. That Vishnu's presence is there in the social system itself. So by some divine touch of saintly people and so on, he's got that. Yes?
Mm-hmm. mercy of the pure devotee means physical contact, or maybe if I'm not pure, I give somebody Prabhupada's books by the Vani, by the association of the Vani of the pure devotee.
Yeah, everyone's coming in touch with Krishna, either by meeting a devotee or getting a book or getting some prasadam or hearing the chanting. They're coming in touch with Krishna, with Krishna's devotees. Pure devotee is given all of this stuff, so they're coming in touch through the line. You're representing a pure devotee, so they're meeting that pure devotee through you. Yes?
During an initiation ceremony, the spiritual master and the disciple, so is this yajna symbolic?
Symbolic? Yeah, but there's symbols, you know, this represents this represents that. But it's not simply symbols. Just like words are symbols. You know, the word book stands for a book. You know, the words I surrender stand for surrender. But when you utter these words, it's not simply symbols. When your consciousness is there, then it's more than simply superficial. You know, then the symbols are in line with, they represent something very deep. It's not that it's simply some moving symbols around. Otherwise, anyone can say, yes, I surrender. What rules do you follow? 1, 2, 3, 4. And he just says the symbols, you know, he produces the symbols, but then in his life he does something else. Then it was simply a symbolic act in the superficial sense of the term. But if he says, yes, what rules? This one, this one, this one, this one. And then he takes it that now I've agreed to do these four, to follow these four rules, I have to do it. Because those, saying those words symbolized his commitment. That now I agree for my whole life I'm going to do these things. Something else? Yes.
When it is sacrificial yajna, when it is yajna for initiation, when the devotee is throwing this banana,
yeah,
in a fire and grains, their sins are burned up by this?
Yeah, it's not just, you know, but it means he's dedicating his life. It symbolizes something, but again, if you just do it because you're doing a newspaper report, and this was like the end of your story, you know, that you took initiation and now you're going to write your story for the Herald Tribune. You know, what sins got burned up?
It doesn't matter, like this banana, how much you get burned in fire.
You could take the whole forest of bananas and offer them in the fire. You know, the whole Chiquita banana company you could offer in the fire and still be so loaded down with sins you'll never get rid of them.
It's like symbolical, like
the symbol has to be representing the fact. Just to do the symbolic thing, but the fact is not there. It's like, I promise to pay you $500. That's a symbol. You know, I write my name on the bottom of the thing. But if I'm not going to give you the money, then it's an empty symbol. This is a bit, by the way, a big topic when you get into universities or some, the meaning of symbol, you know, it's a whole thing. You know, so we don't have enough time to, you know, if you really want to examine the nature of symbols, do one of those college courses on it. But the symbol is supposed to represent, for example, we offer the grains in the fire. So it's supposed to symbolize more than just, you know, this is the grain. But it symbolizes our own dedication. Commitment, dedication. Then, you know, when the grains are being burned and the fire is burned, then you're being offered into, what is that, Brahmagno? Into the fire of the absolute truth. Otherwise, again, you just do it because, you know, you're doing a story for the newspaper. The same effect won't be there.
But like when you are really committing yourself,
said that these bananas, that they come your sins and they will be burnt in that fire?
Yeah, it's not exactly a mechanical process. You know, that if the fire didn't burn the banana completely, then, you know, you're still got 20% of your sins left or something like that.
Then we might just put kerosene on the banana and put in the fire.
Yeah, you got to turbocharge the fire, otherwise you'll still have some sins. It's not, you know, the yoga system is very mechanical. And it does depend, you know, you got to chant the right mantra at the right moment, the right accent, the right pitch, the right this, because it's mechanical. And it's very sophisticated mechanics. If you do it right, you can get free from material existence. We're not depending on that sort of thing. Where our offering is to sincerely chant the holy name. Again, if you don't chant with sincerity, you don't get the same kind of effect. So, okay, we're not so sincere, therefore we're practicing again and again to try to develop sincerity.
It doesn't matter how much it gets.
No.
It's another detail, like also in relation to discussion. Like we discussed that how one should come around to the pure devotee and then you say be in touch with Krishna and get the benefits. Is it like also it does if it applies to like Vyasadeva who wrote all the Vedic literatures? You know, then we're only devoted to the Krishna itself. And so the people who follow the Vedic different rules and regulations, but they don't know that it was written by a devotee. They don't know that the objective is Krishna.
They're making progress slowly. They don't know where they're going, but gradually if they stay in touch with the great Vedic literature and so on, Vedic culture, they'll make progress, and then they'll start to figure out where they're going. So it's a process. We're moving on. Sarve piete yagya vido, yagya kshapitakol mashaha, yagya shishtamrita bhujo, yanti brahma sanatana. All of these people, by following sacrifice, they're advancing toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. Now it's clear, right? There are all these different sacrifices. Some of them are better than others. We'll find out about that in coming verses. But they're all offering sacrifice, so they're all advancing toward the absolute truth. Clear?
Yes.
Okay. Nayam kuto, nayam lokos chya yagyasya kutonya kuru sattama. Without sacrifice, you're not going to be happy. What to speak of the next life, you won't even be happy in this life.
It's only spoken in the Gita. That's one.
That's repeated twice.
No, it's one line.
Oh yeah, this is the only one that's one line. Yeah.
No, there's. I think there's more than.
There
one.
May be more than one.
There's
I'm
more
sure.
than one.
They might be combined with it.
Yeah, they're all, they're there.
Okay.
But okay, so this is clear. You won't be happy in this life, and what to speak of the next life, if you don't perform sacrifice. Why not? Loko yam karma bandhana. Unless you're acting for Vishnu, unless you're acting for sacrifice, you're getting karma. Evam bahu vidha yagya. Bahu vidha means various kinds of yagya. Vitata brahmano mukhe. Karma jan viditam sarvam. Evam gyatva vimokshase. Vitata brahmano mukhe. All of these sacrifices are proved by the Vedas. We read that before. Karma brahmod bhavam vidhi brahmakshara samud bhavam. The sacrifice is coming from work, prescribed duties are coming from Vedas are coming from
Brahma.
From Brahma means the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth. Therefore the Absolute Truth is situated in these acts of sacrifice. And all those people who are performing sacrifice, they're all making progress. These sacrifices are proved by the Vedas. They're all born of different kinds of work. Knowing this, you'll become liberated. Okay? Different kinds of people are going to do different kinds of sacrifice. Brahmacharis are going to do one kind of sacrifice. Brahmacharis can't do the householder sacrifice. householders aren't prepared to do the brahmachari sacrifice.
The brahmacharis
and householders aren't prepared to do the yoga sacrifice, go off to the Himalayas and do all that kind of stuff. All these different kinds of people are going to do different kinds of sacrifice. But they're all going to make progress.
So liberation here means
vimoksha.
Gets out of entanglement?
Yeah.
Gets out of entanglement. But that doesn't reach bhakti.
Gradually, that's the point, to reach bhakti.
Okay.
Now, Shreyan Dravyamayad Yagyaj Jnana Yagya Purantapa Sarvam Karmakilam Parta Jnane Parsamapyate. Now there's different levels of sacrifice. Shreyan, better than Dravyamaya Yagya, sacrificing your stuff, is Jnana Yagya, to perform a sacrifice for the sake of knowledge, or perform a sacrifice in knowledge. That's better. Sarvam karmakilam partha jnane parasamapyate. The goal of all these sacrifices, after all, is knowledge. So if you're performing a sacrifice involving knowledge, if you're acting with knowledge in sacrifice, if you're sacrificing for the sake of knowledge, that's better than the person who's just saying, oh, let's give something to the Red Cross. It's good. Yes.
Someone is given to the Red Cross and is it their material performance?
Is it there?
Is it material performance?
Yeah. But it's Prabhupada classifies it under Dravyamaya Yagya. They're giving their stuff in sacrifice. Now we understand better when you sacrifice directly to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's the best sacrifice. When you offer your stuff to a pure devotee, that's better. But even, and we'll find that later in the Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter, Krishna said, well, if you can't surrender everything to me, then give your stuff to me. If you can't give your stuff to me, well, at least give your stuff away. Don't stay, attached to your stuff. So there's different kinds of dravya yagya also. Giving your stuff away to a good cause, better than that, giving your stuff to saintly persons or pure devotees. Better still is when your purpose is knowledge and you're acting in knowledge. Because really the purpose of sacrifice is transcendental knowledge.
Oh, here we go.
Then,
the
now, how are we going to sort out all these sacrifices? There's some do it this way, some do it that way, some have this sacrifice, some perform that sacrifice, some people are breathing backwards as a sacrifice, some people are doing this and that. Now what am I supposed to do? Arjuna might ask, you told me about 17 different kinds of sacrifice. What am I supposed to make of all this? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Tatvidhi. Tat means that. What's that? That's what we've been talking about. There's so many different kinds of sacrifice. Life should be performed only for sacrifice. If you don't live for sacrifice, you get entangled. Now, there's so many kinds of sacrifice. To sort this out, you have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidhi. You should try to understand all this by pranipat. Pranipat means by surrender. Pariprashna, by submissive inquiries, relevant inquiries. And sevaya, by rendering service. Upadek janti te jnanam. Those self-realized persons will give knowledge to you, the tattva-darshis, those who know the truth. Any questions? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this verse because this is, a headline verse in all of our Bhagavatam classes. When I first came to ISKCON and started giving classes, the rule was that to give a class, you had to say four things in every class. You're not this body. Life is not meant for sense gratification. Accept a bona fide spiritual master and chant Hare Krishna. Those were like, you know, the little guidelines that they gave you. But in every class, you say these four things. So now we say all sorts of things. But anyway, we hear a lot about this. And I'm sure we'll hear a lot more, and we can go on talking and talking about it. Nectar devotion, I think you're talking about it. We could do the whole course on just this one verse. But it's clear, right, that if you want to sort out all this stuff that Krishna has been talking about, then tad vigyan artam sa gurumeva vigachate. We have to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Mandatory. Yajgyatva na punar moham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani jakshas yatman yato mayi. Gyatva, knowing this, na punar moham evam yasyasi pandava. Once you know this, my dear Arjun, you will not fall into this kind of illusion again. Punar means again. Moham, illusion. You won't fall into illusion again. Why? Yena, by this knowledge, bhutani asheshani drakshasi, you'll see, atmani, all of these, all living beings, as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or ata, in other words, yes, in other words, mayi, you'll see them all in me. Now Krishna becomes quite explicit, that you'll see, you won't fall into illusion because you'll see everyone and everything as part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that is to say, mayi, me, Krishna says. Now he's being very direct about what you're going to understand by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Yes? No. Okay, that's clear. Let's see where we are.
36.
Yeah, I see where it's that much. I'm just seeing how far we are from the end.
Oh, it's 42.
36 minus 42 is 6. Api chet asi pape bhya sarve bhya papa krittamaha. Sarvam jnana plaveinaiva vijanam santarishyasi. This chapter is transcendental knowledge. What's the value of transcendental knowledge? It's so valuable that even if you're papa krittamaha, papa krit means a person who does sins. Krit means a doer. Even if you're a doer of sins, what kind of doer of sins? Papa krittamaha. Tamaha is superlative. You know, we have positive, comparative, and superlative. Good, better, best. Strong, stronger, strongest. So here, papa krittamaha means the biggest, the number one sinner. Even if you're topmost superlative degree performer of sins. Sarvam jnana plaveinaiva vijanam santarishyasi. Still, when you get in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the miseries of material existence. Even if you're the most sinful person, if you're the most sinful of sinners, by this transcendental knowledge, you can get free from material existence. Powerful. Powerful. Yatai dhamsi samid hognir pasma sat kuru terjana. Gyan Agni Sarva Karmani Basmasat Kurute Tata. Another example that transcendental knowledge is like a fire. As much wood as you give to it, it can burn it all up. In the Shastra, it said, where is it? It's in one of the Chaitanya literatures. I think it's in Premam Vivarta. That chanting, if you just chant Hare Krishna once, purely, you can be freed from more sins than you can commit. Oh. You know that, Chris? Papa Shri?
Krishna Name, Yata Papa Hare, Papir Sadhanai Papa Papa.
Something like that. There's a couple different verses probably that have the same purport. Now, chanting Hare Krishna purely means getting freed from more sins than you can possibly commit.
But purely is it?
Yeah, purely. So similarly, because why? The holy name is all knowledge absolute. He's Krishna himself. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga sang siddha kalen atmani vindati. There's nothing as pure, pavitra, as transcendental knowledge. And a person who's mature in this knowledge, Sangsiddha, in due time, he understands himself. Prabhupada translates Sangsiddha, one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service. That's actually maturity. One who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Shadava labhate gyanam tatpara samyatendriyaha gyanam labdva param shantim acharyena adigastri. A faithful person who's dedicated to this transcendental knowledge, tatpara means dedicated to this, he'll get knowledge if he's controlled his senses also. Samyatendriyaha, you control your senses and you're faithful and you dedicate yourself to transcendental knowledge, you'll get knowledge, and gyanam labdva, having gotten knowledge, param shantim, acharena, adigatri, very quickly, acharena, you'll get the supreme peace. People are looking for peace. If you get knowledge, you'll get peace.
Peace formula.
Another peace formula. Agyascha shradhanascha samshayatma vinashyati Nayam lokosti na paro na sukham samshayatmana. Agyascha, a fool who has no knowledge in standard scripture, samshayatma, full of doubts, vinashati, he's finished. Na ayam loka asti na paro, neither in this life nor in the next, sukham, will there be happiness for this samshayatma. Samshayatma means a person whose whole life is doubt. Doubt is a function of intelligence, but just you get these people who doubt is like their purpose in life. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, one has to surrender to Vedic knowledge and get freed from one's doubts. People make a religion out of doubt. You know, the demons, the atheists, their religion is, you know, God help me, God help me, you know. DNA, help me, should I ever stop doubting? The whole thing is doubt. But then, you know, death comes, and then, you know, doubts are finished. So, doubt should be overcome by knowledge. And when you get real knowledge, then don't go on doubt. Because you'll not be happy in this life or the next. Doesn't mean blindly accept, but just doubt. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam. Now, what about this doubt? You just want me to give up my doubts? No. Yoga sanyasta karmanam. By acting in devotional service, giving up the results of fruitive activities, jnana sanchinya samshayatma, samshayam. Your doubts, samshaya, will be sanchinna, torn apart by jnana, by knowledge. Atmavantam nakarmani nibbananti dananja. You'll be situated in self-realization and you'll not be entangled by performing work.
is a common scenario in this world today amongst devotees. There's devotees, they chant their rounds, they follow Purga principles, but then they go out and do some work, like to maintain their families, and then they don't give up the fruits of their, they keep all the fruits for themselves.
They have a problem. They're doing something right and something not so right. So we have to make progress. Attachment builds up.
No, can you clarify?
Clarify.
Yeah, you go out, you make money, and you don't give anything. You just keep it all to yourself.
Keep reinvesting and reinvesting. The kids, they have this one. This room is just too small for them, and that blue furniture is really, I wouldn't want to grow up with blue furniture, and time to repaint and.
Vacation,
new
car.
The kids have never been to Disneyland, and
And then they can afford this, and they can afford that, and then go up and ask them, we're trying to build a temple.
So that's material attachment. That's one of the dangers of householder life. So therefore, by good association, by sincerity, by chanting seriously and so on, by this way, by reading the books, we have to cultivate detachment. It's not just, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give? Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Detachment, Vairagya. And Vidya, knowledge. If you have knowledge, then you expect that you know something about not trying to enjoy this material world. So Vairagya will be there. And if you perform devotional service, then knowledge and detachment will automatically follow. So if a person is sincerely engaged in devotional service, then we expect that he'll give up his material attachments. It may take some time, but if he's sincerely chanting, we expect that.
It means like you earn money, you have to give some cash to the temple. But this is not, you have a fruitful life at your house, and then once a week you're cooking.
I'm not going to talk about, how the details of whether you give it to the temple or, you give it to the deities or you give it to the official, the temple treasurer, or whether you do something. Somehow or other, that whole, it has to be dedicated to Krishna. And not just dedicated to that, when I'm eating, then the super soul is also eating. Not just like that.
Also, I'm engaged in devotional service, so it's service because I'm a devotee.
Because I'm a devotee, everything I spend on myself is Vaishnava Seva.
That's the common.
Would cooking for a few hundred people and feeding them from your own home with your own money, that would also be for Krishna?
Well, if you're not assuming that you're feeding them in such a way, just feeding is not our program, by the way. And this is a whole class. We've done this before. But it's not that, you just invite people to your home and feed them, and because you fed all these hungry people, that's dravya yagya. You're giving your stuff away. And maybe it's even, it's prasadam. But Prabhupada actually had a greater idea in mind than just feeding hungry people. He considered that to be more or less mundane welfare work. The idea was that they should come to our temple. Or if you invite them to your homes and they all take prasadam and there's kirtan and they get books and they learn about Krishna, that's transcendental. Just that you fed hungry people, something is there, but that's not the idea. But yes, it's not that you have to do this, at a temple. I was just talking, maybe some of you saw Piyari Mohan, mm-hmm. who's our temple president from Hartford. He's got the ideal idea. Anyone who's a householder, you're looking what to do. He's got a temple. What is a temple? It's a house. Who lives in the house? Himself and his wife. And the deities.
There's two kids.
So they're living, and their couple of kids. So they just took the living room, and instead of having like what everyone has as a living room, they just knocked out a wall and, made the floor nice and put an altar and put the deities there. And they offer all the food to the deities. And they live upstairs in a couple of rooms and an office up there. And they hold regular programs.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And
every morning.
Every morning there's mangala. So the whole place is all for the deities. The preaching programs are going on. It's a temple. And who runs it? One man and his wife. And they have a nice congregation of people who come. They're distributing books. They're performing devotional service. They're becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. I think he doesn't pay taxes because it's a temple. You know, any householder can do this. Any householder can pick up this model and say, well, you know, why should I have to pay $1,200 a month rent anyway? So why should I spend all my time working to pay my rent and hardly have time to go to the temple? Why don't I just pay the rent for the temple and live upstairs? It's only intelligent. Any household, you know, any guru coolies, any householders, any smart person can do this. And in this way, you can have hundreds and thousands of temples without any additional expenditure, because everybody has to live somewhere. And the people will come to the temple, they'll give for the deity, and not that you say, all right, they gave for the deity, now let me, you know, buy that new BMW I had in mind. But you sincerely do everything for the deity, and because you're serving the deity, you'll automatically have all your needs met. Okay, last verse. Even though we're over time, but you don't mind, we finish the chapter right now, right?
No. Yes.
Okay. Tasmad, therefore, agana sambhutam, pitstam ganasinatmanah. Chitvainam, samshyam, this samshya, these doubts, these useless doubts that you've got, which are agana sambhutam, which are born of ignorance. Chitva, cut them off. How? By yoga. Samshyam yogam atishtoktishta bharata. With the weapon of knowledge, by transcendental knowledge, gyanasina, by the weapon of knowledge, yogam astita, be situated in yoga, and uttishta. Get out there and fight. Arjuna was confused, which is better, knowledge, work. And Krishna said, work is better than the path of mental speculation. But now Krishna has made clear how work and knowledge go together. So you've got all these doubts, cut them to bits with knowledge and get out there and do your work. Clear? Okay, class dismissed. Thank you all very much.
Hari Hari.
I have a question from one of the things we discussed.
You do?
I know some people go to a nice house and physically remove somewhat a few kilometers from the temple.
Yeah.
And they already had some ideas about preaching, so they started making their house into a temple. Beautiful. And some of the devotees from the main temple, the ISKCON temple, considered to be a little bit like it was competition.
Yeah.
And they took a
stuff.